Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Bible says, one day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer, 3 in the afternoon. Now a crippled man from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful. We talked about this last week. I want to read you the story again. Where he's put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. And Peter looked straight at him, as did John. And then Peter said, look at us. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. This is where things get bold. Can I get a witness? Then Peter said, silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk, and then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as that same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Lord, there are amazing things, Lord, that you cause to occur in our lives, that you are indeed a healer. You transform situations, our hurts and habits and hang-ups, to being able to help, to being a tool in your hand. And Lord, I pray this morning, Lord, as we seek to understand the spiritual life, the spiritual things, Lord, that you would again equip us, Lord, that we might be mighty in your hand. And we'll give you praise for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
Camachos will be gone next week. They're going backpacking. Are you in here, Roki? Julie, where are you going?
Barker Valley.
Well, I don't know where that is, but I grew up in Northern Cal, and we used to go camping up in the Sierras, and when you got in the water, it was snow melt. Anybody relate jumping into snow melt? It can be rather exhilarating. I remember swimming as young children at Yosemite. Oh, it's cold. And, you know, realistically, you kind of want to think about it for a second before you get in. It's like, wow, do I really want to do this? And then you might just tip your toe in, you know, and just kind of start getting prepared and getting used to it. And then people get various ways of being able to kind of get used to the water, you know. And sometimes some crazy stuff goes on. Some people want to get in the water and not even get wet. But one thing, after you get used to it, it feels good. Amen? I show these pictures to you because we're talking about the things of the Spirit today. And sometimes they can just be a little bit challenging to us. I use the cold water as an illustration because if you get into water that is very far away from 98.6 degrees, it'll jolt you. And sometimes, and oftentimes, as it takes a little getting used to some cold water, it takes us a little while to get used to the things of the Spirit. We are in this series called Purchase for Power, which is a study on the place and power and purpose of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer, that he indeed has a plan for you and will equip you to have impact for him. Many of you came forward last week desiring that presence and power of the Holy Spirit in your life, that there was a desire. And as I'm going through this series, I want to present the opportunity that exists for you within the spiritual realm. That indeed God had promised hundreds and hundreds of years before the time of Jesus of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit. And so to describe an opportunity for you to move into the spiritual realm, and from recognizing that opportunity, that would spark in you a desire. So I hope, because I have been praying for you this week a lot because of that desire that was expressed last week. Many of you came up. I hope you have prayed as much for your movement into the spiritual realm as I have prayed for your movement into the spiritual realm. Because I can pray all day long, but until there's a desire on your part, and until there's a hunger on your part, until there's a desire that impacts you enough to move, you'll never get there. You'll always be on the outside of the spiritual things of God. And man, when you hit that jolt, it's like, whoa! But after a while, you get used to it. You get used to the things of God. And when it's not there, you feel out of touch. You can become familiar with the things of God. You become familiar with a life that glorifies God. Today, we're going to take a look at power on display. And we will spend all of our time in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If you would like to read ahead, we'll spend next week on Acts chapter 14. Amen? Amen. Are we on track? Amen. Are we good? Yes. All right. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, Bible says, about spiritual gifts, brothers, that includes sisters as well. It's brothers and sisters, I'm just going to say it. I do not want you to be ignorant. Who wants to be ignorant? Not a big line for ignorance. Amen? I'm glad. So we're all lined up on Paul. He says, I don't want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, wow, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. And so as we start off today and we talk about the spiritual things in life, we start off knowing that the Holy Spirit is our guide and that Paul, writing under the influence of the Holy Spirit, does not want us to be ignorant. So, I feel kind of bad because I told you I wasn't going to use Greek words, but I'm going to use some Greek words today. All right, we're going to start talking about, he talks about spiritual gifts, and the word there is pneumatikon. It comes from the Greek word pneuma, or spirit. And we get from pneuma, spirit, and pneumatikon, things of the spirit, or spiritual things. And it is not entirely accurate to look at this. It's a different word. And we get to it in a minute, we start talking about, it's another word I'm going to use, charisma, gifts, okay? So we'll get to that in a second. But Paul says, I don't want you to be ignorant about the spirituals or the spiritual things in life. And he says that when you were pagans, when you were of the nations, when you were of the ethne, when you were just normal, so to speak, you were led astray to worship mute idols. That there is, and Paul talks about this in the book of Ephesians, that there is a spiritual battle that goes on around each one of us. And it moves into your home, and it moves into your workplace, and it moves into your school, and it moves to wherever you are at. Amen. That there is an enemy of your soul that would move you from just being nothing to move you to a place where you would indeed curse God. Bible tells us right here that no one says Jesus is cursed except being led astray. He says somehow you are led astray. We see that all around us in our culture. The people want nothing to do with God. that people want nothing to do with Jesus, that they would take the Ten Commandments out of our schools, they would take the law of our Lord out of our courts, that they would not allow our children, I've never been allowed to pray in school. When I was a child, the ability to pray in school, taken out of our schools. Why? Because of that spiritual battle that would lead you from the ethne, from the nations, into a position of darkness where you would curse the Lord. Now, I struggle with this. Give me a little. Have you ever heard anyone say, Allah, damn it?
No.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
You've heard them say that? I've never heard anybody say that. Or you hear somebody in anger would say, I'm Muhammad. It doesn't happen. Why? Because the enemy of our souls is not moving us to curse Muhammad or Allah or Buddha or whoever else it could be. But he does move us from a position of neutrality to a position that is opposed to the Savior of our souls. It's a spiritual battle. Paul says, beware, you fight against unknown forces of evil that would guide you into darkness. Jesus says, I'm not going to leave you alone. John 16:13. He says, but when the Holy Spirit comes, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. And so we have this spiritual battle that wages around us with the enemy trying to pull us into darkness, and the Holy Spirit would come and say, no, that's wrong. You move into the light. And he says, no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And as we talk about the spirituals today, as we talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, your salvation, your ability to recognize your Savior is a gift from God in heaven that he sends as the Holy Spirit comes and moves and works around you. Amen? Amen. So we start off with the spirituals. Let's not be ignorant. You might be sitting here today because Johnny's 80th birthday. But guess what? The Holy Spirit's been waiting 80 years to get you here today with a message. You're not here because of some accident. You're not here just because George is cooking up a great grill today. You are here because the Holy Spirit guides you away from darkness and into light. That's good, isn't it? Hallelujah. All right, let's keep going. All right, now, all right, you can write this down. I don't want you to be ignorant, okay? All right, the spiritual things come from the Spirit. Some of you guys might already know that, all right, but we're starting at the bottom here. Spiritual things come from the Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same, say it.
Spirit.
Different kinds of gifts, but the same.
Spirit.
Very good. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. Different kinds of working, but the same God works in all of them. So as we move into the spirituals, as we talk about the spiritual things in our lives, we must recognize the Holy Spirit who guides us into the things of God, and we don't get there on our own. Okay. Different kinds of gifts. Another new term, charisma. Charismatic gifts. Spiritual gifts. The word charisma is translated grace. So we get charismatic, or actually right here, as we had pneumaticon, we have charismaton, all right? And so he says, as we come to the things of the Spirit, here we have things of grace. And that these manifestations of grace are from the Holy Spirit for that we might indeed glorify God, glorify Jesus. Amen?
Amen?
Paul references three things here, the charismata, the gifts, but then he talks about service, and he talks about work, different kinds of service, didike. I know I'm killing you with my Greek today. And work. And so the word where we get service is from deacon. Diakonos, all right? And so we get this ministry. There's different ministries, different services that we do, right? And then this energizing that we get, this work, is the effect or operation of our giftings in the role that the Lord puts us in. And everybody went, it's kind of a complex thing. These three all intermix to form the pneumaticon, or the spirituals. He said, I don't want you to be ignorant. God is doing a thing in you, puts you in a position so that you can accomplish something for Him. Make sense? All right, let me show you. It is like a bow and arrow. The bow, the Lord, somebody going, huh? The Lord puts you in position. He gives you a place to which you can work from. Your service and or ministry, all kinds of service, all kinds of ministry, same Lord. There are spiritual gifts. That is that string. So the Lord puts you in position, and then He equips you, and He strings you. And then there are works that you will accomplish, which is the arrow. Okay? So, you are placed in a position, given gifts to have impact. Have you got the picture?
Thank you, Lord.
All right. Now, let me blow you away, because you don't do the shooting. The Holy Spirit shoots you.
Amen.
See, we think we are the archer. It is the Holy Spirit who is the archer, and we are a tool in His hand, equipped so that He can use us.
Thank you, Lord.
Whew, I'm entangled right now, and I'm preaching. Wow. We okay? I figured I'd get a little something. All right. All right, here we go. Everybody gets something. Big list here. Kingdom gifts for kingdom purposes. Everyone. Raise your hand if you're part of everyone. Everybody but Steve. All right, that's good. All right. There. Oh, Steve just joined everyone. All right, praise the Lord. All right, yeah, everyone is an inclusive thing. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there's given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of that same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one just as He determines. Everybody gets something. You got something. It is like the string. Everybody's got a string. Everybody is being equipped for ministry within the body and outside the body. Man, I could just stop and just say, do you get that? That's you. The Lord is rigging you for impact. Did you have any last week, and do you want any this week?
Amen.
Because it's ignorance that keeps us from being a tool in the Lord. That's why Paul says, let's not be ignorant here. All right. We've got 8 gifts here. Spiritual gifts, message of wisdom, knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, miraculous powers, prophecy, discernment, speaking in tongues, and interpretation of tongues. These are pretty cool gifts, amen?
Amen.
These gifts are given to be used by Him in your life, but they're also given that you might give glory to Jesus,
amen.
Right? They are not so that you can bring glory to yourself. Devil will come along and say, oh, that's for you. No, it's not for you. These provide the supernatural demonstration of the Holy Spirit's presence and power in the life of the believer. You. That's why he does that. So that you can be a shining example of what the Holy Spirit does in the life of somebody who was sacrificed to the purpose of Jesus for their lives. Is that what you want? Talk about opportunity and desire and then movement. Because you can be like that dude on the, just sitting there looking at that cold water, you know, going, I'm going to go in. I really want to go in. Have you ever done that? I remember standing on a high dive. My mom took me, I was like six. An hour I stood on that high dive. There's nobody there. I want to go. Never went. Climb down. See, without movement, all the desire in the world is nothing. You got to move. The gifts are the work of the Holy Spirit. And the one that you get is up to him. He equips you to have impact. He has wired you to have impact. And realistically, you look around what you do now, you're already wired. Whether or not you are serving the Lord with your gifting, that's another question. His plan, it is God's plan, and he invites us to join him to glorify Jesus. Amen? All right. God's plan is big. It's complex. The body is a unit that was made up of many parts. And I did not include verses 14 through 26 because it talks about the body. I'm going to show you a picture of the body here in a second. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though its parts are many, they form one body. So you got many and you got one. One is easy. Amen? So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free. And we were all given the one Spirit to drink. And in that, we see the complexity of the plan of God, and we see the size and massiveness of the plan of God. And it is compared to the complexity of the human body. And I grabbed that off the internet, and I have no clue what all those words mean. They're very technical words. And the physical body is an incredibly complex organism. And Paul says the church is complex just like that. But if you take a step back, I mean, I got all that stuff in me. And you look up here, and you see some incredibly handsome guy that's preaching to you right now, right? You're not worried about complex and all that kind of stuff. And so if you take a step back, it gets simpler. And realistically, I'm going to point up here to this shoulder muscle because I looked at it. This is the deltoid, right? The deltoid right here. And all the deltoid's got to do is worry about being the deltoid. You don't have to worry about the seismophinalis capitalis M. I don't even know how to say that. If the trapezoid worries about being the trapezoid, and the neck bone worries about being the neck bone, God works out all the complexity. Amen? And so God gifts you. And realistically, all you have to do is worry about your gift and keep your eye on the Holy Spirit and glorifying Jesus in your life. And guess what? Everything else gets easy because it is the one Spirit that works all this stuff out. Amen? God works out the details. Yeah. We work our part. You work your part, and you know what you get? Well done. Good and faithful servant. Talking with Pastor Carlos before service. I long for that. I want to show up before the Lord, and I want to hear more than any other thing. Well done. Good and faithful servant. All I got to do is be a deltoid to get that. Why? Because he hasn't called me to be anything else. Amen? All you got to do to get that is to be where he's put you and do what he's told you to do. Spirit will line us up. What messes it up is ignorance, not being aware. is disobedience. I don't want to do it. And the enemy will come and just lie to you and say, oh man, all this stuff is for you. It's not for the body, for your glory. The thing that will fix that is obedience. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Amen?
Amen.
So, talking about obedience, talk about my son. They were in Hawaii. My family was there last week or the week before. It kind of runs together. I think it was last week, yeah. And we've been looking for a youth guy, and I have not been able to find a youth guy. And they're coming back on Thursday, and I just started thinking, you know, man, maybe my youth guy's been here, is right here already. Now, Joe missed church 2 times between birth and 18 years old. And that's not including all the prayer meetings he came to in addition. So he's probably ahead of the game. And Joe is kind of a fun-loving guy. You know, spearfishing, surfing. He used to, what do you call that when you lay down flat on the ground? No. Planking? Planking. He was into planking for a while. And boogie, never did surfing, lifting weights, you know, just kind of having, playing football, busted his tooth out playing football, and slacklining, right? And so it's Wednesday, and I said, Joe, no, it's Tuesday, actually. I said, Joe, you're coming back. I want you to think about coming. I want you to work in the after-school program. I want you to connect with all these kids. And so he taught on Wednesday night, but he came to work on Thursday. And we had 20 kids from the high school right up here. You can't hardly see him, but he's in the back corner over there, and he's playing hoops with these kids. It's kind of nice being 6'4", amen? You know, and it's like, hey, you know, God had equipped him for this outreach. And then they leave and go back to school, and then he started the slack line. Now, let me point it out to you. This is the slack line. It's actually not slack. It's actually quite tight. But it's kind of like a tightrope, right? And so Joe, with all this fun-loving stuff, is able to connect with these kids, mainly boys. But there are some girls that are hanging. I mean, I got another picture of Angela and Emily on that slack line. But they are just gathering around Joe. And he has the opportunity to connect with them and to teach with them and introduce them to the kingdom of God.
Amen?
Amen? And so he's like, yeah, Dad, I could do that. And so I'm so excited because you know what? I'm miles from Mr. Fun. I mean, many of you have hung around me. And you will say, oh yeah, Pastor Bob's got no fun. Right, okay. But Pastor Scott, down there, you know, Aaron Bugs is pretty fun, so they gather around him. But Pastor Carlos, not a fun guy. But he's fed them food, and they gather. There was 53 kids on Thursday because they were coming for Pastor Carlos's food. And God puts us all in places so that we can glorify him. Amen. We can serve inside the church or outside the church. God wants those discipled. We got to get them so we can grow them, and then we can glorify Jesus. Amen?
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 Amen.
Get them, grow them, and glorify the Lord. All right, let's keep on going. You have a place in the plan. Oops. One too many clicks. There we go. All right. Your place in the plan. Moving on over to verse 27. Are we okay? Anybody falling asleep? Anybody freezing? You're freezing? Okay, it's good. It's for me. It'll keep me from sweating. All right. Why don't you, Roki, turn the fans off. Everybody's freezing. No? How many people are hot? Cold? All right, we're going to have a grudge match after church, and we'll see how we do it next week. God gives gifts to the church, and you indeed do have a place in the plan. Now, This is another set of eight gifts. They are the gifts for the church. Now, you are the body of Christ. Okay? Body of Christ and or church. And each one of you is a part of it. You're here today, and you don't normally come. I'll tell you what. There's some pretty good-looking people around here. You know why? Because the Holy Ghost will make you look better. Turn to that person next to you. Holy Spirit making you look good. Yes. So you want to look this good, you got to come back more to this church. Praise the Lord. All right. Each one of you is a part of it. And in the church, God has appointed, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then workers of miracles. Also those having the gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. You got a place, you got a gift, and you got a place. This, we talk about that place, the bow, right? And so here's the position, and there's a little bit of overlap. I got the list there. Apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles, healing, helps, administration, speaking in tongues. These groups can be kind of grouped into two, There are the rather natural gifts, teaching, helps, administration. Apostles, apostle is a sent one. Jesus sent out the apostles. Modern day apostles would be guys who start church movements, very large movements. Prophets, those who speak the words of God. Similar to teaching, but a prophet really means a mouthpiece of God. Last week, one of the ladies came up to me or texted me. I got a text and said, man, because I said, I'm going to take a side route right here, right now. And lady said, when you took that side route, that was just for me. That's exactly what I needed to hear from God. And there is that supernatural kind of thing that happens. And, you know, it wasn't like I went into a trance or anything, but it was just God. I mean, there's some people who think that. There are some people who think that. You got automatic. You're not going to get off. All right. You got kind of the natural ones. And then you got these beyond natural ones, which would be miracles. I think miracle right there, definition, a miracle is beyond natural. Yes. It is a miracle. All right, there we go. So we got miracles. We've got healing. And then speaking in tongues. And we're going to talk some more about speaking in tongues next week when we get to verse 14. Or chapter 14, I mean. And so we're going to kind of, but even then, tongues is a heavenly language. And Paul says that tongues are for the unbeliever. And so we get to these greater than natural, beyond natural, or supernatural gifts. And in the ministry of Jesus and of the apostles, the supernatural made way for the natural. We read about the healing of the guy at Gate Beautiful, right? And I don't know how long it took. I mean, if we got the whole thing, you know, it took about less than 1 minute, right? Silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. Give me your hand. Here you go. You're healed, right? What's that take? 15 seconds? 30 seconds? From that, 2,000 men are saved. Okay? 5,000 men total. You got men, women and kids in the church. There were 3,000. They moved to 5. 2,000 people get saved from the supernatural act for 15 seconds. Now, I'll tell you, being a pastor, 2,000 people get saved, there's a lot of work that goes into the discipling of those people. So then, and Jesus would do the loaves of fishes and the healings and all that kind of stuff, and then he would begin to teach about the kingdom of God. Let me tell you about the plan. Let me tell you about how you fit in. And so it is often these greater than natural, these supernatural gifts that move and make way for natural gifts. Does that make sense? All right. Matthew 28:18-20 is the Great Commission. Jesus says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go, heal everybody. No, he doesn't say heal everybody. He says, go and make disciples of the nations, the ethne, which is where we started off, where Paul was talking in the beginning of 1 Corinthians 12. I'm going to go Greek on you here, but I'm excited to make that jump for a second. Catch up. All right, here we go. Go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We're going to do that next week. We will teach you about the Lord. We will baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Why? Because we work the book. Amen? Yeah. And you come to the Lord, I didn't know anything about the book. I was tripping out trying to learn how to live without chemicals roaring through my brain every day. And I started reading. We don't use a King James Bible because I couldn't figure it out. I started reading Matthew. I'm okay. Okay, we're going to do it. I got to Mark, man, and I thought I was losing my brain. Because I thought I kept on losing my place in the book. So I went, I've read this before. I'm losing my mind. I'd read this. I know I've read this. If you don't know, okay, if you don't know, I'll just let you in on a little secret. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Gospels, all have stories about Jesus in them. Some of the Gospels have, all four Gospels have the same story. So I make it through Mark, and I'm tripping. I get to Luke, and I'm going, I'm totally losing my mind. So I get to John, I am, and finally someone says, they got the same stories. I'm like, oh, okay, all right. I'm detoxing, but wow. And you know what? The word is to be a stumbling block, but not the words. That's why we use the NIV. It's easier to read, man. I mean, there's no, sorry. All right. Maybe, hey, that was a side note. Maybe that was just for somebody today. We don't know. Well, I'll get a text and we'll find out. Plan of God, right? Use these supernatural gifts of the Spirit to reach people with the opportunity of new spiritual life that our Lord Jesus Christ has provided for them by his death on the cross. Tracking with me? Once they come in, now we got to grow them up. If you've grown a tree or if you've grown anything that takes a while, it takes a long time. So they can get saved like this, but man, it takes a long time to grow them up. So we get them and we grow them, and all the while we glorify Jesus. Amen? All right, here we go. Paul tells us to move into more. Paul tells us to move into more. It's the last thing we'll talk about. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, do all work miracles, do all have the gifts of healing, do all speak in tongues, do all interpret, but eagerly desire the greater gifts. Now that list that I had up before, you can read it and not realize that it gives us a hierarchy of the gifts. First of all, there was apostles, he said, all right? And so what we got here then is some of these supernatural gifts are low on the line. Why? Because, man, you got a church of 5,000 people. You need a lot of teachers. Can I get a witness on that? And see your teachers up there towards the top. Apostles being able to move and put all kinds of structures together for all these people who are getting saved to be grown up in the Lord. So Paul says that you can move into, you can move up the list. And I'm telling you, man, gifts of healing are attractive to me. Workers of miracles, I'll tell you what, man, I'd like to spring out a couple of miracles right now. But I would just be working tricks. God's not into tricks. I mean, you're going to do a miracle. You have pretty good reason. But healing, all you got to do, I prayed for Elijah up there. He's got a fever today. Prayed for healing for that boy. Mary Jo is spasming in this muscle that she had worked on. Prayed that the Lord would just touch her back. How's it going? It's going. Praise the Lord. And you know what? In those things, we give God glory. Amen? And so as we move up the list and we see workers of miracles, we've got teachers. I'm a teacher. Sometimes a prophet, mainly a teacher. We got lots of teachers. Roki teaches. Pastor Carlos in the other room translating into Spanish. He's a teacher. Lori's a teacher downstairs. Teresa is over there. She's a teacher. Kyra's a teacher. We got lots of teachers. Move up the list. Pastor Paul, great teacher. Ann's a teacher. We've got some great people. Joe taught on Wednesday. God is good. And my wife, a wonderful teacher. Pastor Scott, there he is teaching. I'm looking at him going, who is teaching the youth? I got to think that's Mr. Bugs. Apostle or sent one, sent by Jesus. These other gifts down the line are sent for, are given for support and for outreach, administration, helps. Mike Hinson does great, great work around here. Tongues, healing, workers of miracles, helps in administration. Helps us put some structure around here, reach the lost so that we can then disciple them. Because you're going to get them, and then you're going to grow them. We're all in the process of growing, amen?
Amen.
Acts chapter 6, they selected deacons, the same word we've been talking about, for the food ministry to free up the apostles for discipleship. Eagerly desire the greater gifts, the greater charismata. Eager to desire the greater things of grace, the works of grace. So today, what's your desire? I hope your desire is to glorify God, because He equips you to be that bow. Lisa, you want to come up and play? And realistically, there's a lot of people who just don't want to get shot. They don't want to be the bow. They want to be the archer. You tracking with me? You tracking with me? God says, I will set you up to be a tool in my hand. I want people to say, God, I got no desire to be a tool in your hand. Why don't you fix me up and I'll make some choices. I'll do what I want to do. So many times we pray and we want to bend the Lord to our will rather than surrender our will to His will and say, Lord, whatever you want, wherever you want to point me, wherever you want to shoot me, that arrow is the impact that you would have with the spiritual gift that He would give you as a result from the spiritual place or position or ministry that He would put you in. Amen? So you can say, Lord, you put me wherever you want. Lord, you can shoot me wherever you want me to be shot. And Lord, I will seek to glorify you all day and every day. We'll get them and grow them, and I'll glorify you. Lord, we come before you this morning, Lord, knowing that there is opportunity, that we will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon us to be a witness, to have impact, Lord, to be used in your plan, a dynamic role, Lord, and that the spiritual things are chilling at some times and refreshing as well, Lord. And it takes a while to get used to that. And so, Lord, many of us who are here this morning are used to the things of the Spirit. But, Lord, we desire greater gifts. And, Lord, we desire greater opportunity and greater impact, Lord. But we want to be a tool in your hand. And, Lord, some sit at the edge with desire but no willingness to move, and they're still dry, Lord, I pray this morning and through last week through my prayers and through their prayers and next week through my prayers and through their prayers that the opportunity leads to desire, and the desire leads to movement, Lord. And there would be that refreshing that would come as we step into the things of the Spirit, as you would draw us back and launch us to have great impact in this community, Lord, the outreach that goes on daily with the youth and next Friday and the water baptism and the carnival and such things, Lord. We seek to glorify you. And we seek to give you praise this morning. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the call, Lord. And I thank you for the call and the gift that everybody here receives. We give you praise this morning. Amen. Worship team's going to come. We're going to sing. We're going to stand. And I prayed for many of you last week as you came up. And I pray that the desire, greater gifts, the desire to just step into the spiritual things, that to move out of ignorance in the spirituals is just birthing in you the willingness to move out from where you're at. I want to pray for you, but also I want to put you in position where the Lord can draw you back and shoot you, because we got some slots around here. And you can fill them. And you can glorify God. So as we sing, what do we sing? We're going to sing a great song, aren't we? Oh, yeah, overcome. Yeah, we'll overcome that message of the devil that says it's about you. It's not about you. It's about him. Amen? And so we're going to sing that. And I just invite you to come out. I want to pray with you. And we'll see the Lord just kind of bring either a fire or a quench or something that would shake us from where we're at. Amen? Praise the Lord. Let's sing. Anywhere you're at, you want me to pray? Just come on out.